Welcome to the San Antonio FC Fancast. My name is Royce. I'll be your co-host for the day. Along with me are four of my best friends? Worst friends? Friends. We'll go with friends. Four of my friends. First, let me introduce to you Robert. Robert, former goalkeeper for St. Mary's University here in San Antonio. Robert, how are you?
I'm good.
They don't call him the best in the business for nothing, folks. Along with us, we have MLS Matt. Matthew, how are you?
Amazing, man. My teams are winning, so we're great.
He says his teams are winning, yet we had another draw. That's sus. You're suspect. Suspect. Well, no, I should say sus to make my kid cringe anytime I use his lingo. So I need to keep doing with that. Along with me is Harry, my true co-host. Harry, how are you?
Finding my mouse.
that would help.
It's been an eventful week. We got some bracketology scheduled done. I just converted to the bad side of an iPhone, so that's been an adjustment.
Hey! Everybody clap it up. I want hands together. Clap it up for Harry for joining the iPad. The iPod.
For joining the iPad.
The iOS, whatever.
iPad, iPhone, whatever. I've got both.
I'm a dad. I can do that. It's fine. Oh, and if he wants to be a smart butt and come in here and introduce himself without me introducing him, the actual professional on the pod, Jonathan Check. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing all right. I technically don't think I'm a professional anymore since I don't get paid for my work, but I mean, I guess I was at one point. I'm doing all right. Hopefully my nose behaves tonight, because over the last few days it's kind of oscillated between being really stuffed up and running like a professional athlete.
Yeah, I think we all have that cold. It's definitely going through my house, so I'm going through the same thing. And that's Jonathan Check with Bluish Moon publication.
Check out his stuff.
Check out his blog. It's probably the best that covers SAFC right now, so it's great. I'm going to go with it.
I see what you did there.
Better than
go
us.
Go check sure. out his blog. Got you.
Totally unintentional, I'm sure. But I almost pun said intended. Something about it.
Yeah, pun yeah. intended.
Pun unintended, but very much accepted.
No, what are we talking about? Of course. So, like I said, it's a dad joke. I'm a dad. We're going to go with dad jokes. Anyway, moving right along. First subject we're going to cover here is going to be the San Antonio FC alumni. We had a few games where alumnus made appearances, right? Alumnus?
Alumni, anyway. Would be the plural.
Alumni is plural, right? Alumnus is the singular. Latin's so weird. Anyway, over the weekend, Nathan made an appearance for Portland Timbers against the Houston Dynamo. Gross. And a 1-0 loss to the Dynamo. Gross. According to Stewart,
he should have got more minutes and then he would have destroyed the Dynamo. But
you're not wrong. According to Stewart, he had a lot of really good chances, made a lot of really good runs, and looked real productive and really made a difference as a sub. Just couldn't put the ball in it. Secondarily, Big Sam Adeniran, also made a substitute appearance, but for his team, St. Louis City FC. They ended up drawing with the LA Galaxy 3-3, and he had an assist in that game and he earned a last minute red. He was pretty much by himself, clear,
controversial red
with a chance, and multiple LA Galaxy players tried to take him down. Finally, one did and got a red for his work there. Along with Sam. We had two in the Minnesota United LAFC match. You had Dane St. Clair start as goalkeeper, and Tani Oluwaseyi came in as a sub in a 2-0 win against LAFC. Really good result for Minnesota there. We also had Sebastian Ibiaga start for FC Dallas in a 3-1 loss to Vancouver. And probably the biggest appearance of the ball that we keep following and we're excited about, Jose Gallegos got the start in a 2-0 win against Helsingør. They are now 13 points clear of third for automatic promotion in the Superliga, and they are only 2 points below Ulburg, who's number one with 51 points. I'm not sure how much longer they have in their season, but we'll see. What's up?
It's splitting into split into the promotion side and the relegation side, and then they'll play, I think it's 10 more matches.
10 matches, right. Yeah. They've done their 22, and now they get 10 now, and 10 in the promotion and 10 in the relegation. They're obviously in the promotion, and they just need to keep their head above water in that promotion to automatically be promoted up.
Correct. They need to get between 55 and 60 points based on historical data.
They're sitting at 49. So,
actually add 10 to that. They got to get about 14 points to be free and clear based on historical data, which shouldn't be an issue with.
They need 14 points in 10 games. So they need to average 1 point something. They need to get a couple wins and draw the rest of them. If they get 4 wins, hey, in the clear, they're promoted. So we'll count those down. When we come back, though, we will talk about the game. Great timing there, Harry. All right, and we're back. And we get to talk about San Antonio FC's match yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And I like on the show notes how Jonathan put San Antonio FC at Jordan Farr, cross, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Jonathan, you want to fill us in on that?
Yeah, sure. I just thought it would be funny to do that because the whole, like, every storyline starts with, oh, Jordan Farr, and, you know, there was going to be a magnifying glass on his performance. There certainly was a lot of people saying, you know, he messed up on SAFC's first goal, that kind of thing. Or I think you actually went ahead and tweeted out something, Royce, along the lines of, like, Cisniega would have saved that.
That's great. Kind of
poking fun at how last year with Nick Marsman, people were saying, oh, Farr would have saved that. but yeah, it was very much the big storyline, and the US, you know, to the extent that the USL even did a little article about Jordan Farr and, you know, how he was actually, it turns out, content to stick around in San Antonio, fight for the number one
allegedly
spot again.
Allegedly.
I genuinely think he would have been willing to. I mean, his wife was here, his daughter was here. Like, I'm sure they wanted some more longevity. But Tampa Bay, a few teams, turns out, found out, hey, Jordan may not be the starting goalkeeper anymore. He's on the market. And Tampa Bay said, yeah, we'll pay the money to bring him in. He's a great goalkeeper. We think he'll add to our team. And so he found his way over there. But 2-2 draw, ultimately. If you look at the scoreline, it's about par for the course with these two teams, because three meetings in their history since they both joined the USL Championship, and all three have been draws. The way it got there, though, is a lot more interesting than it might seem. I don't know if we want to get into the goals. And
oh, we will. We will. That's a great transition right there, how interesting this match was. So we'll start it out. We'll talk about the injury report. Oddly enough, I did not get a press release on that, but I guess Jonathan through the grapevine found it somehow. It's just the same as last. plotting check over there. It's the same as last time. Lucho's on it. It seems like a week to week injury. We'll see when he's available. I don't think it's nothing really to worry about. And the second big news is, this was Mitch Tanner's 100th appearance for San Antonio FC. Once again, clap it up for the captain. Clap it up for a captain. Clap it up for a beautiful friend, Mitchell Tanner, for 100 appearances for San Antonio FC. Big salute to Mitch. well-deserved captain, and man, I guess we'll throw it around the horn. Robert, what are your thoughts on Mitchell Tainer and his 100th, good Lord, appearance for San Antonio FC?
Yeah, what makes it massively impressive is the fact that this league tends to be one of transition where players, you know, they always call it quote-unquote minor league, or they're trying to get onto bigger opportunities, or they're kind of on the tail end of their career. So these types of things don't come along all the time. So definitely celebrate him. I mean, he's been, ever since coming from Sacramento, a mainstay, a fan favorite, great player, captain, MVP, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Matthew, are you okay?
He's choked up. Talking about Tainer. Right.
Yeah, that's...
Have a needy dog.
Fair enough. What are your thoughts on Mitchell Tainer and his 100th appearance? Good Lord.
Pretty amazing. I mean, he's what, the third player to do that?
I believe so, yes.
So, pretty amazing. Pretty... Just add more to SAFC's history.
The other two being Greg Cochran, correct? And
Cardoni. Has to be.
My guy, Matt Cardoni.
has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you can't see him back there, but he's back there with Rafa Castillo in my Ferrari cars. You can only see, I guess we'll introduce it now. You see my James Bond cars all right there. Rita Zuhir. All my Funko Pops. Lars Ulrich over there off my shoulder. Eddie Belfour on my other shoulder. All right. Now you're introduced. Cool. We're there. And let's go to Harry. Harry, what are your thoughts on Mitchell and his century mark appearance?
He's one of the GOATs. If there is ever a statue that's built, he has to be in that discussion of being one of the first ones to be built. I know Rafa Castillo, you know, probably the, you know, fan favorite for his all time with San Antonio FC, but and San Antonio Scorpions, Matt Cardoni, and then, you know, has to be Tainer, as far as top three, at least in my book, that would be in the discussion if a statue was ever to be built, be the first.
Or if we start retiring numbers, one or the other. You don't see that a lot in soccer, so we'll see. Never say never.
Especially his number.
Right. Then again, St. Louis Cardinals, we have a lot of numbers retired, mm-hmm. including pretty much 1 through 10 now is basically retired, because Yachty's number 4 is going to get retired. Pujols' 5 is going to get retired. Mutual 6, you know, Red
Cardinals, too. Man.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
It's like for talking about the Vikings, man. You know, last place teams.
No. This is our year. We're about to trade up.
Okay, Denver's not any better.
Anyway, let's get back on track. Let's reconnoiter. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on Mitchell and his 100th appearance for SAFC?
Yeah, first of all, I was kind of starting to doubt myself. I knew Mitch was supposed to be kind of close to 100 appearances based on what he had had in the previous seasons, but I was surprised SAFC wasn't really...
Because he has 90 yellow cards? Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
I knew he'd be getting close, but SAFC wasn't saying anything, and then, you know, as he was in the starting lineup, they did the graphic. I'm like, okay, so I wasn't crazy. Good. And it is 100 appearances in all competitions. And obviously, you know, he's played for other teams. So the appearance numbers get a little muddy there. But yeah, he is definitely, I think, fitting to be on that pantheon of SAFC players who, you know, have given a lot to the club and have all had kind of different journeys to 100 appearances. You know, at least when Matt Cardoni reached it a couple years ago, I was talking about how Greg Cochran played pretty much just every game of those three seasons he was with SAFC, and that got him to 100. For Matt, it was, you know, kind of riding a wave up and down. You know, sometimes he was the number one, sometimes he got injured and, you know, then came back and was on the bench. And for Mitch, you know, he did have some of that. You know, he went back to Sacramento, But for the most part, he was actually, I guess, kind of a mix of Cardoni and Cochran, because he's played most of the time he's been at SAFC, with the exception of a couple injuries and, you know, a yellow card suspension here and there. But it's also just really fitting that he was recently announced as the captain. You know, I wrote a little something about that earlier this week. And I talked earlier about how you thought maybe Jordan Farr was going to put down roots here. Mitch definitely has. You know, he's bought a house here thanks to his realtor and center back teammate, Carter Manley.
Carter Manley. Yep.
Match hero.
That too. We'll get to that.
Hero.
But yeah, so it feels good. And he's just, you know, he really clicks with, I think, SAFC, the community, certainly with Marcina. You know, I've talked about that before. The two have a great relationship. So 100, and we'll see how many more. I think if he continues to play pretty much every game, he will become the SAFC appearance leader later this season.
Wow.
Absolutely, which is pretty wild to think, number one. And number two, this just shows that big shift that happened when Alan Marcina came on board, that San Antonio FC is building the core. They're doing the multi-year contracts. They're keeping those players in for a long time that we were always asking for from 16 to 19, actually 16 to 20, really, is we wanted that core. We wanted a majority of the players to stay, and we're starting to see that. And we're continuing to see that. So I think that's a great thing. And Mitchell wouldn't want anybody else to have this. He's a great dude and great player and great ambassador for the team. Absolutely. So moving right along after the 100, let's talk lineups. Harry, you want to cue that up? So in this lineup, it was basically the exact same as we saw in the first match. The only change is instead of Shayna Gomez goes to the bench and Mohamed Omar comes on to start, what it kind of seems like. And the formation we had was a 3-5-2. And kind of what it seemed like is we really wanted to lock down that midfield. So we put basically three number sixes, three defensive midfielders in the middle to really lock down Tampa from doing anything and having them depend on the wings, which we'll get to. But that's kind of what it seemed like Marcina wanted to do. Was it successful? We'll talk about it, but that's kind of what it seemed like he wanted to do. This is normally where I throw it to Rafa for some analysis, but Robert, how do you feel about the 3-5-2 in this iteration?
I mean, the results of the game, or like the flow of the game, kind of was not great for the first, like, what, 80 minutes. So, I mean, they made some they were tinkering with it, brought in new players to kind of, you know, get some energy going, but it was the same general setup. I think they're just trying to feel things out, see what works, what doesn't. I mean, Marcina's known to tinker, known to substitute, known to try to modify each lineup based off who the opponent is. So, I mean, it's a work in progress. It's early in the season. It's two games. I mean, we just got to be patient. Some things are going to work, some aren't. There's going to be some games that are great, some that are not so much. And the reality is, this season, everyone knows that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it's just a matter of kind of finding what works, finding your, you know, players that click and don't, and then just keep going from there.
Absolutely. Harry, you have any thoughts on the 3-5-2?
I thought this lineup did a good job of shutting down the middle of the pitch. And I think if we, you know, talk about execution, it put things out wide, which, you know, it caused some problems, we'll say, as we'll see, you know, in the highlights here. But I thought for Coach Marcina, he wanted to kind of stabilize the middle with that, you know, six-pack there with Omar, Tainer, Abu, Burks, Lambert, Manley, with Hackinson and Silva going up and down, and Agudelo and Hernandez earlier. So to me, Mike, you know, kind of at the start, I was like, it's a change. I'm excited to see Omar. I thought he played well the times that he's been in there. Still some work to do, which, you know, is why we named this show Growing Pains Part 2, because as Robert mentioned, I don't think Coach Marcina's landed on his optimal starting lineup yet. One, because not everybody's here, not everybody's healthy, and, you know, just a new system that he is working with. Go ahead, Royce.
I will say one thing. How many times did we use the same lineup during our championship year? Anybody?
Was it like twice?
Twice. Yeah. So don't expect a normal.
That was due to injury, though.
I'm just saying. It may have been three. But once again, single digits, very low single digits. So there's going to be a lot of tinkering. It's not going to. Hello, JC. Welcome. It's going to change, and Marcina's definitely one to tinker. He's not the tinkerer, but he, you know, there's certain things that he'll change, he'll adjust. And the one big thing in this match, once we go over the highlights, that I think he was a lot more successful at from the Loudon match to this match, were his subs. I think his subs were a lot more successful in this one. You want to cue up the highlights? We'll go through them, and then we'll talk stats and big events. And while this loads, I'll go ahead and talk over it, and I'll stop. Well, I guess I got to talk over it anyway to explain what's going on. So here's the kickoff. Here's the opening whistle. And we kick it around the back. Here's the opening goal. It's a set piece goal in the fourth minute. Four assists for the Rowdies in the preseason. He has been on the board
here in the fourth. Nothing Pablo can do, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's glass, but it's just poor marking. Like,
yeah.
Like someone didn't pick up the run on the front side there.
Yeah. And that's what Pablo's saying right there is, how do we miss that mark? He's wide open, gets, you know, Mo doesn't even really jump with him. That's tough. And that's going to be something definitely to watch out for in future games, is our set piece defense, because it needs work.
That's a boo, right?
It was a boo. Yeah, it was a boo's man that got in front of him, got positioning, and got up to get the header on. And there's nothing Cisniega can do about that one. Zero.
To be fair, if Abu's on Jennings, that's going to be
That's tough. That's tough. I think, I mean, you're looking at Mo Amar right there in the middle, who's a lot taller, a lot more, has a better aerial presence than Mo Abu. I think those guys should have switched. But once again, like I said,
It's class. Don't get me wrong.
It's class. It's a great header. It's early in the season. These are those bugs that need to be sorted out. Absolutely.
And I'll already taint Jonathan's check, horn here, pat him on his back, because he did mention that watch out for Jennings, and 4 minutes into the match, he was throwing it back in our face, also humbly.
Thanks, Jonathan. All right, let's continue.
My boy, does he have a nose for Bo Jennings, a poacher, getting to the front post and just flicking it on.
In 2024, came off the assist of Blake Bodily on the corner kick. Tampa Bay attacking once more. Rebounded and put in by the Rowdies. Oh, the flag.
And that was definitely offside. Really good save by Cisniega. He needs to hold on to it, but the player was offside.
Far would have held on to it.
Oh, gosh.
Or he would have completely missed it, either one. Yeah, we're kind of defending for our lives here in this first half. We really didn't have a lot of outlet. There was really no offensive outlet for San Antonio FC in the first half. That was the first shot right there. Like you said, we didn't have a lot of outlet. It was a good save by Jordan. But we didn't have a lot of outlet, a lot of offensive outlet. That's kind of where the sixes in the midfield kind of hampered us, is we couldn't really play through them. We could stop plays, but we couldn't really play through them. So that was kind of difficult.
We do have to talk about that's not on the highlights, but Jorge got a yellow card, but did have elbow to the head. Could have been a red, if called on. Also, late in the first half, he also had another foul that the ref started to reach into his pocket and decided not to pull it out because he knew he saw the number and let it go. So this first half, there was, what, four yellows, three for the Rowdies, one for us.
Four for the Rowdies, one for us. And I will say that Jorge kind of was on the line, but he kind of established the physicality in that first play. But Tampa Bay answered, and they beat up Luke Hackenson in this match. So right. I mean, they beat them both up, absolutely. But that's kind of on the ref to not control that from the beginning. He established it with Jorge, and I agree with the yellow. It's probably orange. That's perfectly fine. But from there, Tampa had three or four fouls where they ran into Hackenson late that he did not give a yellow, and then he finally started giving yellow cards. So it's kind of on the ref. It's one of those things we see just a lot in soccer in general, is where the ref will, oh, I'm stamping down on this. Here's a yellow. Next one, buddy, you're off. And then for some reason forgets that and just starts letting them play. So one of those inconsistencies that we see quite often, and we saw it in this match as well.
But I did want to point it out because it is one that San Antonio FC could have been shorthanded, because we're going to talk about in the second half a play where San Antonio did get possibly an advantage. With Luke once again.
Oh, you're talking about the ad in the box.
Yeah. No, it was pretty clear what that was. But at the same rate, like I said, there's players on both sides that probably should not have stayed on the field.
Sure. Correct. But I wanted, since we're starting second half here, I did want to address that in the first half, because that was for San Antonio FC a key moment of keeping Jorge number one on the field, but also not missing any games if he would have got a red card. So.
Absolutely. And we also will say that at the half, Cameron Lacey came on for Muhammad Amar.
Nobody knew.
It wasn't announced at all. But show, and you could see how easily Tampa Bay came up on the wings. You're going to see that later. But what I will say about the switch between Lacey and Omar, that's really nice save. That's Alamarcina seeing that while he has three defenders defending, you can't play, you can't hold possession and play through that. And that's kind of what happened there, is he needed more offense in the midfield. And so we brought Jorge back and put Lacey up as a second forward.
Their breath here. And great to give Tampa credit. They did have a wonderful crowd here for their opening match, over 7,000.
I'll call it a crowd. All right.
Rowdies continue to knock on the door here. Eventually, you got to think that door is going to open. Tampa Bay running once more.
Another nice save by Cisniega there, who had another really nice match, I thought.
San Antonio playing uphill the entire way. Dangerous ball this time. Look out, it's Hernandez. He's back in place. Here's the shot.
He wanted that back, you can tell.
He went for, instead of power, he went for placement. And here's the tough. This is just tough. That's what this is. This is Lucas Silva just overplaying and underplaying at the same time. Yes. Really bad. Really bad defending.
Position. Score.
The goal scorer had the perfect timing over Manley. He was on his shoulder the whole time. Right when that pass went, he made his run. Not a lot Manley could do. He could have tried to block him a little bit more, but this one's on Silva for sure. Silva's got to stop that in the corner. He's got to kick that out of bounds at the very least.
Burra.
And here comes Burra. This was a player. This was a player I was super excited about, is Burra, to see what he can do. Game changer. The game changed right there in the 82nd minute.
When did he start, though? That's the question.
FC Dallas, right?
No, no. He's the guy from Iran or whatever.
Yeah, he was in the Persian Gulf League. Yeah. And that is a howitzer. And that is 100% on Jordan Farr there. Robert.
Defense. You never get beat for a near post. If you want to talk about Farr, you never. That's the number one rule of goalkeeping. You always guard that post. That's yours.
Strong, yeah, near post is a sin in goalkeeping. No, yeah. Absolutely. And that is near post, as near post gets.
It caught him off guard. He put him in leaning, like, you know, waiting for the cross. And I was shocked to see Burra. Like, I was expecting him to be a defensive guy. But when I saw it, I was like, wow.
You think he just misjudged it? Because his arms right there, you think it was just the speed? Or
no. No, that's just not blocking your post. He's not close enough to the post.
Yeah, he's not close enough.
He's leaning more to the right than to.
And it's got some heat on it too, but like still.
Like as a hockey goalie, you have to be on the post. I'm just
trying to defend Farr possibly.
That's fine. That's your prerogative. But as a.
Oh, shit. Hold on. We got the number one goalkeeper that showed up here.
There we go.
Hey.
What's going on?
Straight from Hondo.
I know. Well,
Walmart Hondo's watching. They suck. So if you're watching, don't go to Walmart Hondo, the Hondo Auto Center in Hondo. You suck.
There goes one possible sponsor. Rafa, we're talking about the Burra goal that Jordan Farr let in the near post. Can you kind of explain how that's a sin in goalkeeping, and what are your thoughts on his on that goal he allowed?
It was basically what you saw last year. He was well, discipline wise, he needs to be curving his near post, but you can tell he was cheating for the cross. So if you kind of see, you can see him kind of leaning once he gets close to the post, and he was leaning back. He needs to cover his post and let his defenders worry about the cross. So yeah, that's probably what, you know, we saw a lot of that last year.
To make an
entrance.
It's okay.
So all the supporters there that look at there's goalkeeping 101. Cover your near post. He's there. If he's on the post, that shot's blocked.
Yeah, he's hugging. He's hitting
him. He's got a defender right here too.
Yeah, he's got a right defender right there to block the. If it's going to be crossed, that defender clears it away. So those are the little details right there.
Okay, moving right along. And that's Burra's first for the team. Welcome, Burra.
The announcer said it was his first professional goal. Now,
I don't think it's his first professional. I'll do some research real quick, but I don't think it's first professional. And here we go into stoppage time. A little magic from Hackinson right there. And here comes Carter Manley. Boom. Oh, my goodness. I scared my dog cheering for this one. Wonderful.
It erupted at Alamo with that goal.
Yeah, that was – I mean, this is just character. This is showing never say die. This is putting it all in. This is what you want to see out of your team right here, is just that effort. Put in that extra effort to at least get the tie on the road. Huge. Huge. You want to pause it real quick?
Oh.
I know. We'll get to that here in a minute. Rafa, can you kind of give us your analysis or your thoughts on the game tying goal by Carter Manley?
I mean, there no keeper can stop that shot. If you look at the where he placed that, you got to give kudos to Carter Manley to really place in that. You know, especially with a defender there near that post, he's able to get it in. Like I said, Jordan Farr would. I don't care if it's Jordan Farr, Quatar, or Ederson. I don't care.
Yeah.
No one's gonna stop. No one's gonna stop that shot.
And it was just placed on a platter. It was on a platter for him after Jorge missed right there. Like, it's just on a platter.
That's threading it right there. Just look how tight that was.
Gillian.
Another mistake from last year.
Are you ready to go forward?
So, according to Transfermarkt, that was his first professional goal.
Yeah, all the highlights, he looks super defensive.
Yeah,
he looked almost like a junkyard dog. Like, he was like literally like all over people defensively, but they didn't show any offensive highlights on him.
Burra is built like a brick shit house. Have you seen that guy? Jesus Christ!
Yeah, they were talking about his tenacity and how much he's good on one-on-one challenges. And
he's unbelievable. He is a squad changer. That guy, he is going to start before long. And
another tank.
He's unbelievable, dude. Incredible. All right, continue.
Who does he start for? Does he start for Abu?
I think so. We know Abu's probably on a minutes limit, and I think Abu may be kind of a closer coming up, kind of like PC was a closer the last couple seasons. I see Burra starting next to Lambert and then having Jorge in front of him. I think that's going to be a top choice, and then Mo Amar is going to kind of fill in as needed. And Burra can play a lot of different positions. This one, he was a right back, or the right wing back, and he could play center in the midfield, and he could play as a full center back as well. So, I mean, one of those real versatile guys that's super talented that San Antonio FC's scouting department did a really good job on. And then this was, continue. Robert and Rafa, I want
to
hear y'all.
This to me is classic. This to me is part of the reason why Farr is not in San Antonio, because he did this last year with SAFC.
They will have to get offensive here.
Pass in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. He got lucky. He got bailed out.
Lasso bailed him out.
Yeah, big time. That was going in, yeah.
This should have been
3-2, and then this should have probably been this probably should have been the game tying goal. Oh nope, they're not going to show it. All right, fair enough.
No, they don't show it.
Yeah, so what they don't show
all day. I look for a replay all day.
Fair enough. So what they don't show is in stoppage time after that chance that Jorge Hernandez had there to win the game, well, almost win it. There was a long, deep cross that connected with Tampa Bay in the box, and Luke Hackinson, the Tampa Bay winger, faked like he was going to cross. Luke Hackinson went to the air, which is a sin. You never go in the air defending in the box. Tampa Bay player just stopped, and Hackinson clattered into him and knocked him over, and it should have been a penalty. Absolutely should have. It wasn't called, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
I'll take it.
Also, wasn't there a corner that San Antonio scored on as well that I still don't know what the call was. I don't know if it was a foul, offsides, or what.
San Antonio put the ball in the net. They put the ball in the net, and it was called either offside or for a foul. It was either called offside as in the ball went over the in line, or there was a foul. Not sure what happened. Nothing was obvious, but it was called and it was negated. So, shrug. So, San Antonio really came in with a vengeance. For me, this is a big character game that they showed a lot of character. They went down 2-0 away against a very tough opponent. They came away with a point. They almost came away with 3. I think it was a great result. Let's throw it around the horn to see everybody's opinion of the result. Matt, you look real tuned in. What's your opinion on the result?
My bad. What do you call it? It's pretty good, man. I mean, I think it was like we've been talking about. We have to either a draw or a win for this game. That's how I saw it. We either had to get a draw or a win to show, hey, we're going to contend this year. Obviously, I personally feel it should have been a win, but I think seeing the new tactics that Marcina and the new sporting director are doing for Riza. I can never pronounce it.
Ferruzzi.
So the new tactics that they're coming with, I think they look a lot better going forward. So let's just see how much more chemistry we can get out of these guys and see if what happens.
And that's exactly why we call the episode Growing Pains Part 2. I wanted to be called Electric Boogaloo, but I got voted out of that one and Never Say Die one. So, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Said Never Say Die.
It's fine. It's fine.
Your James Bond theme, because I think that's one of the movies.
It's Never Say Never Again. And it's not an official Bond movie that was done by... Anyway, I can go through the whole story.
Okay, Justin,
not an official Bond, but anyway. This is Sean Connery.
You can call it Far Too Many Ties.
No, that sure. We'll talk about that here in the preview.
Let me continue with throwing around the horn. Robert, how did you feel about the result?
I mean, it's one of those ties that feels like a win, you know. And it was opposite of it's funny. It was like the polar opposite of last week where the tie felt like a loss. So, I mean, it's kind of the ebbs and flows of the season. And
weird how that happens, right?
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is the Burr experience. I mean, seeing him finally play. I mean, to me, it gave me excitement about, you know, what he can bring to the table long term.
Against Antigua, grain of salt. It was against Antigua. But when he was out there alongside, it wasn't Mo Amar. It was Mo Amar, right? Those two just bossed that game as the two center backs with all of the academy kids. Like, nothing went through them. They were unbelievable. And to watch those two players who probably trained two or three times together, how they had everybody set up in the academy, clear instructions. Everybody knew what to do. Went over, talked to the kids. You know, there were a couple times the kids got a little amped up and were pretty close to getting a yellow in a friendly. And, you know, Burrow would go over and be like, hey, we need to settle down. We got this. We're up to nothing. We're fine. We got this. That's right, because Mo Amar scored the second goal. So you're right. He was in there. But the dude's all class, and he's an unbelievable footballer. And I'm so excited to have him on my team for sure. Rafa, what are your thoughts on the 2-2 draw at Tampa?
Well, it's good for them. They are able to steal points from one of the top teams from the East, especially on the road. Should be at 4 points, but that's a whole other story. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, they showed some character. They didn't quit. They fought. They were good to equalize and really also kind of unlucky on not getting the winning goals, but it just shows that hopefully maybe this is a sign that they're turning the leaf and better things are yet to come. And they can, like I said, this is a confidence booster for that squad. And hopefully they can build upon that next week against Colorado.
We're still the mentality monsters, baby. Don't forget it. JC, what are your thoughts on the 2-2 draw?
Yeah. So I think particularly given the circumstances of this being, you know, playing away to Tampa Bay in their season opener, no less, it was always going to be a tough match. And I'm going to forego echoing some things you guys have said. The thing that I came away from last night was thinking this felt like maybe an SAFC away win from 2022, where they maybe look kind of on the back foot or second best for a large portion of the match. And then all of a sudden they pull something out of a certain bodily orifice at the end, maybe even, you know, could have grabbed a win, which you kind of shrug and say, okay, well, maybe based on the balance of play, they didn't quite deserve that. But you take it. Obviously, you can't complain, especially if you're on, you know, in the SAFC camp. Now, I think the caveat to that is if SAFC got a win under those kinds of circumstances, that's kind of reverting back to the old style. And so then you're kind of balancing, okay, well, you know, we got the win, but we did it in the, like, this style, this fashion that we were kind of trying to move on from. So it becomes a bit of a, I guess, kind of a catch-22 there. Like, is it, you know, it's a little good, a little bad. I don't know if we want to get into the Alan Marcina quote either. like right now or later on. Okay, so not much in terms of post-game quotes because this is an SAFC away game. You know, we don't get to do any of that. But Marcina said something after the match, and I almost want to just... If anyone has any particular reaction to this, I want to know.
I do, but go ahead.
So Alan Marcina said, quote, "I felt we were robbed of 3 points with that unfortunate disallowed goal right at the end." And I saw that, and it was a real head-scratcher for me, because it would be one thing to say, you know, I thought we were unfortunate, or I thought we were unlucky to get a win, or, you know, to not get a win. Because obviously, again, you know, that would have been just pulling a rabbit out of the hat. I think a draw was probably a fair result, but to say we were robbed is a little weird to me, because that kind of implies that, oh yeah, based on the balance of play, we deserved a win and we should have gotten all 3 points. And I don't know if there's anyone here who would raise their hand and say, yeah, I think SAFC was the better team and should have won that match. Really, Matt? Really?
No.
Really?
Hold on.
In the last 15 minutes, maybe.
That's the key, though. I mean, that's the key.
In the last 15 minutes, sure.
But based on the entirity of the match, you look at that and say, don't know that they should have won that.
But the Rowdies didn't take advantage of all the opportunities that they had. They left the door open. You know, but
they did pull the rabbit out of their ass, or however you wanted to say it, because it's true.
Five more minutes, San Antonio wins that game straight up. But let me do mine, and then we can circle back, because it'll kind of go back to this.
Fire away, and then I'll respond to the quote. But Harry, I left you out. You give your go ahead.
Hold on. So stat wise here. So 60-40 in possession.
Yeah, I will say real quick to the 60-40 in possession, that was because the majority of the game, San Antonio FC was behind, so they needed to take the impetus to try to tie it. So that's kind of skewed a little bit. They went down in the fourth minute. That's kind of where that comes from, that 60-40. I think it would have been closer to 50-50 had it gone tied for a lot longer. But go ahead.
So 60-40 possession. The Rowdies had 14 shots. We had 7. We had 7 on target. We had 4. We had 2 block shots. They had 4. They had 11 corner kicks. We had 3, and ours were late. 16, 15 fouls, 4 and 3. You know, so it was a fairly physical game. Passing-wise, 398 passes, pretty even between the two halves, a passing accuracy level of 73%. Even on long balls, 24-56 for 43 through there here. So, to me, like I said here, and the reason why I bring that up is I put this tweet out when we were still losing, saying that, you know, for San Antonio FC not reverting to their old super direct style is a huge positive for this match. Because going against Tampa was always going to be tough. But while the game's not going how to won, but you can see the improvement that they're wanting to do. And then, of course, you know, they turned it on in the last 10 minutes. But to me, it's all about the keeping to the new system and not, you know, reverting back to the old one.
I agree. And so there's 2 points I wanted to make. The number one point is the only thing that matters is the score, the scoreboard. You could have said last season or maybe even the season before, San Antonio FC didn't really deserve to win a lot of those games, because in a lot of them, they didn't have the majority of the possession. Most of them, they didn't have the majority of the possession, but we had the majority of the chances. We had the majority of the goals. We had the majority of chances in the entire league. It was ugly soccer, but it was direct and it worked. It was effective, but a lot of people would disagree with that. Now we're trying to go with more chance creation, more possession, and what we saw was plan A and plan B. Last year and the year before and the year before that, we had one plan that was plan A, and plan A was hoof it long and create chances that way. Get two athletes up top that'll create chances. Now with plan A is the possession style, try to move the ball back and forth, get some lanes open, find those lanes and play through, which we saw a lot of against Loudon, and it was really effective. In this match, because instead of having Jorge as that tip of the midfield, we just had three sixes or three defensive midfielders, it was really tough to get those triangle passes together to play out. And we just had the two forwards, and they were kind of on an island by themselves, to the point where Agudelo was by himself, because the two forwards were Agudelo and Jorge Hernandez, and Hernandez would tuck underneath Agudelo to try to support him. So Agudelo's by himself against the back line of the Rowdies, and it was tough for him all night. He couldn't really hold the ball up too well because he had at least two guys on him, and it was tough for him. So plan A in this instance with three defensive midfielders was tough. It didn't really work. Couldn't get a lot going. And as we saw in the highlights, the first chance we created was what, in the 42nd, 43rd minute. So kind of tough on that part. But what that gives us is now we have a plan B. Plan B now is our old plan A. And we saw a lot of that in the second half after we went down to nothing and we needed to chase a goal. And that completely opened up the field, because what Tampa had was they were set up to defend against our plan A. They didn't have anything for us for plan B. And we went high up the wings and then we'd work it back in. And that's kind of why they got their second goal, is Lucas Silva was up high. He got caught, poor defending, yada, yada. It's going to happen. But we went up high on the wings. Tampa Bay didn't really have an answer for that. And then we brought it back in the middle and we scored two goals from it. So did we deserve to win? What's deserved? It's what the scoreboard shows. It's where the ball goes. It's where the ball ends up. You could score three goals in 3 minutes and that's it. And then, you know, then sure, you deserve to win because you put the ball in the net. So is it deserved? I think it's deserved. And one of the things that I will say that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, that I thought one of the best parts of the game, like I said, we saw the plan A and plan B work to almost perfection. We almost won that game, but Alan Marcina's subs were just on point. Against Loudon, not so much, but I think he and his coaching staff really learned a lot from that. For the subs, I think every one of the subs was effective in the way it should have been, and I think it worked out really well. Jonathan, do you have any thoughts on my opinion? Do you want to shoot everything I just said down? Please do it now.
I mean, I'm sure you saw me making some faces in there. It's still, like you said, you know, this whole, the old plan A is the new plan B. And again, you know, it works sometimes. If you get a win, great. Or, you know, even in this case, if you pull a result out of your hat, okay, great. But don't count on that to work every time necessarily. And something else is part of why we saw so much sort of rotation, not even rotation, kind of cleaning out the house and getting a lot of new players in this season, is because SAFC wanted to have this new style and have all these players that Marcina thought fit it better. So if you're going to have to revert to that old style sometimes, are they going to be as well suited to that? And I mean, it almost worked out last night. But like I said, it's not always going to happen. And again, you take a win if you can get it, but it just feels weird sometimes when it's like, okay, you sat back, not even sat back, you were kind of the second best team, and then you decided you were going to play and actually be the dominant team for the last 10, 15 minutes, and then suddenly, there you go, you have a result. It just feels weird to me. Don't count on it to happen every time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, scoreboard's the only thing that matters for me, so it is what it is. I respect your opinion. I don't agree with it. I think, you know, the result is what's on the scoreboard. So however you get there, that's how you get there. So, and I've learned to love the system in the last, what, 3 or 4 years. We're changing it up a little bit. We're trying to become more diverse, and I support it. And it's just part of the growing pains that we're going through. Let's see. Yep, Yeah. I guess that's all we got there. When we come back, we'll take it around the horn to USL Championship results for this week.
And we're back here. And just a quick recap of where we're at. Week two of USL Championship, El Paso lost at home to Louisville City, 1-0. Loudoun, who we tied last week, got an impressive 3-1 win against North Carolina. Indy took care of Memphis, although there were two red cards against Memphis and one was early. Indy was up 2-0 and then kind of coasted in the second half. Rhode Island in the polls. Drew New Mexico United, but a good result for Rhode Island and looked like a great crowd for there. Here, the TV viewing, very San Diego-ish, very high. And then, of course, the goals are it's on the far sides, each one. They got a pole in it, so probably still some work they need to do. Sacramento eked out a win in Miami, 1-0. Orange County got by Pittsburgh 2-0 in the home opener for Pittsburgh. Colorado Springs, Detroit City went into Colorado Springs after they cleaned out the stadium with the snow, 1-2-1. There's a red card, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Tulsa rolled the lights. Lights still haven't figured out how to turn it on yet. Oakland Roots and Charleston Battery, 1-1 in Oakland. And probably the upset of the night, Monterey Bay 1, Phoenix Rising 0. Phoenix Rising, the defending champions, still have not won. So looking at your standings, Loudoun United, 4 points.
Real quick. There's one other game on Wednesday, and that was Monterey Bay drawing with El Paso in El Paso. And technically that was week two, so that was still this week. El Paso has played their first three games of the season in 7 days. That's tough on them for sure. That goes along with these results as well.
That's due to their stadium to get their games in before before the baseball starts. Out East, too early to code playoff teams as of yet because we're 2 weeks in. Loudoun United, 4 points, then followed by Detroit City, Miami, Birmingham, Hartford, Louisville, Indy, Charleston Battery, 2 draws like we are in 8th place. The Rowdies with 1 point, Rhode Island with 1 point. North Carolina, 1.2. Out West, Orange County, pretty impressive on the road at Pittsburgh. A draw against Sacramento, so first. Oakland Roots, Sacramento, Monterey Bay, New Mexico United, all at 4 points. Tulsa, Memphis at 3, San Antonio at 2, El Paso at 1, but in 3 matches played. Rising Lights and the Switchbacks, who we face this week, 0-2. And leaking goals like crazy, which I'm assuming we'll talk about here real quick here. So any thoughts on the standings? I know it's week two. Any games that stood out to you at all this week that you watched or that you caught the highlights of?
I think it's too early to really standings watch as of now, although if you're Harry, I'm sure you're looking at it and panicking already.
I didn't say that. Dude, I have been calm. Telling people to calm down.
You know what?
You're the one trolling people with your little far tweet. I was like, hey, even though we were behind 2-0, hey, calm down. There's a lot of positives on here, so I don't want to hear it.
That's fair. You know what? That's fair. That's very fair. You've been better. It's good. I'm proud of you for that. Anybody else have thoughts on the early matches so far, early results?
I guess the big ones that stand out to me are like Loudoun. Like, it's not your mom and dad's Loudoun from olden days. Now they might be actually a decent team, and that tie may not look as, you know, poor in the long run. But and then Detroit too. Like, actually, Detroit scoring 2 goals was a very uncommon thing last year. So them putting it to Colorado, and I know eventually we'll transition to it. But then Colorado losing 2 games back to back, like, they put in a lot of time, money, and effort into the offseason, and the results just aren't showing. Granted, like we always talk about, it's just 2 games in. Things change. People change. Like, the teams all of a sudden catch a heater like last year, and then, you know, make the playoffs and then figure it out from there. But those things kind of stood out to me. And it was cool to see the Rhode Island, New Mexico game, just for, like Harry said, other than the pole cam, you know, that was that was a little annoying when you were watching that game live, but it was a good atmosphere. It looked like one more club, and then, you know, it's just promising for the USL, you know, for the future of the league. So,
absolutely. And I will say the surprises so far. Matt, go ahead.
Are we going to talk about Brooklyn coming in?
Well, another show. Okay. Not right now. Another show. We're already an hour in. No, sir. No, sir.
Final thought, buddy. Come on.
Yeah. But real quick, I think the surprises so far with form and how they looked are definitely Loudon, Detroit, Birmingham, and Miami.
It's one game for Detroit against Colorado Springs.
Right, right. But that's your top four in the East right now. I'm just saying that's a little bit of a surprise. At the same rate, Monterey Bay's looked really good. Memphis has looked decent, and Tulsa's looked pretty good. So that's interesting so far. And we're going to transition now to upcoming match on Saturday. Colorado Springs comes into town into Toyota Field. And as Harry said, there was a red card in the last match. They will be without their starting right back. So we'll see who they throw in there. That'll be interesting. That's going to be the side that Lucas Silva attacks. So
no, it's the other side.
No, it's the right back. Lucas Silva's on the left, and it's their right. It's the right back that got the red card.
Oh, well, how they had it lined up here. So I have Duke LaCroix moving over to, well, I guess, well, on my right side. Matthew Mahoney slides out for the hair. You can flip them over.
It was Coa Santos that got the red.
Correct. He's not on this here because he's sitting. Pierre, and then I added James Musa because he's a center back. They do have Tyreek McGee and Aiden Rocha that could also fill in if they did not want to move Matthew Mahoney out, but he's their captain. He has played out in the fullback position quite a bit. To me, what's interesting with Colorado Springs, Speedy Williams as a DM, historically he's more up top, and by his name he is a fast player. Jonas Freiberg, which we know from RGV, Steven Echeverria, Henriquez, Foster, and Reynaldo Damo. So this team has speed up, you know, in this, what, six, you know, this, what, 4-1-4-1?
It's a 4-1-4-1, yeah.
So, to me, Speedy Williams is kind of the interesting one here, where he's not very defensive, in my opinion, which might be why they're having some problems allowing goals. This is how we lined up initially in, you know, against Tampa. Do you expect changes?
I don't expect the same lineup. Jonathan, do you expect changes?
Yeah, I certainly expect changes. For one, I think, I don't really think I got a chance to say this earlier, but perhaps the more defensive formation and lineup and all that in Tampa was just playing, obviously, on the road at Tampa, but also just not necessarily knowing what you were going to get from them. You're not going to be in that situation going into this match against Colorado Springs. You're playing at home, you're playing against a team that is obviously still kind of trying to figure out what it's doing. Wouldn't be surprised if we see something similar to the first match, where it's you've got three players up top. You're not committing too much in that central defensive midfield area. I mean, I think SAFC showed in this last match that if you focus too much on that, you hit a wall there. You don't have a way to get forward, to move the ball forward. And then once you finally put guys like Cameron Lacey in, you create that link. You create a natural flow forward. And so it will be probably more back to that kind of lineup, because it's what's worked best for SAFC so far.
I will say there will be one big change that is for certain that's going to happen, is Luke Hackinson is most likely going to play as the right wing back. Shana Gomez is going to be gone. He will be on international duty with Trinidad and Tobago. So that is going to be a change that we have for sure.
So you think Lacey or Mulatto starts?
I don't know. We'll see if Lucho's healthy. I don't know. That's a great question. We're going to find out.
Do you think maybe Burrow starts in place of Abu for because of the speed,
or Burrow is going to start on as the right wing back. That's also possible. We'll see. It's going to be a different lineup. That's all I can guarantee. So it will definitely be a unique lineup to this season. It will not be the same as the first or second game.
Or maybe Carter Manley plays there on the wing and Burrow plays in the back.
That's very possible as well. That is very possible as well. So I just know it's going to be different. So we'll see what it is. I'm sure in training they'll discuss it and they'll figure it out. So maybe Jonathan will give us some insight. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't scout against. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Colorado Springs right now has a -3 goal differential already in the early season. San Antonio FC has a 0 goal differential early in the season, and Colorado Springs has kind of looked rough. So we'll see if they put it together against us. We'll see if we're able to put it together against them. It's early in the season. We'll see who's who, and hopefully we get a good result from this match. So I think that's pretty much going to do it. Anybody else? Harry, you have anything to add?
No, because I know we're going to be sensitive with time here. The only thing, you know, we won't talk about the struggles at home. You know, that may be next week, if depending on how this result takes place here. But my final thoughts is go out, sports team. Like I said, here, you know, if you have the opportunity, go down to the bunker. Fun time. Matt, Robert will take good care of you. Crocketeers will take care of you. Stuart with 210 Alliance, and of course Matt with FTC, and a lot of great people down there like Jason will take care of you. Max, I believe, is going to be here for his last time this year. So if you get an opportunity, whether it's tailgate or at the stadium, go say hi to Max and thank him and his family for the service that they do provide this great nation before he heads back over to Germany. Until he gets his next tour of duty station, which we'll wait for him to announce. I know where that is for that here. So I'm doing my little J check, but I can't say anything because I'll get a red dot. And with his red dot, it's a little bit more serious than Jonathan's red dot. So for that here, that's my final thought. Next week, we'll kind of play it by ear. It is bracketology season, high school playoffs. I am getting brackets and stuff ready for it. Rafa is doing his research to see who he's going to pick. And Rafa will be able to go into a little bit more details on that. But for our channel here, like I said here, expect a lot of high school action to come out in the next week. With the UIL playoffs starting, and like I said, if you can tune in and like and help spread the word, it helps us out a lot when it comes to that. And obviously, if you can like and subscribe to, you know, our channels on YouTube and hit the like button and, you know, whatever podcast of choice, if it gives you a rating, help us out on getting the SAFC Fancast and the SA Soccer Roundtable out there for there. But that's it for me. Matt, you can go next, and you can talk about your Beastie Boys.
What do you mean by Beastie Boys? Man, dude, Houston won. The Manchester game was great.
Dude, this isn't, international time.
Hey, this is my final time, man. I'm just happy all my teams did good. That's all I got to say. I'm glad they all did good. The Alamo at Alamo Beer was amazing. Great atmosphere. Finally got to meet Spurs Nandez, so that was something pretty cool. And then, of course, Steph Mejia came out also, so those two showing it off what the supporters are or what we do. Better yet, come out, hang with us this next tailgate. I think we'll throw out the menu sometime this week. But, yeah, come out, join us in the bunker. Like I said, have fun with us.
And just a reminder, this week is the theme, the promotion for the game is Women's Empowerment Night. So pretty exciting. I'm excited. It's a new promotion. We'll see what's all included in it. But I think it's It's a really cool thing.
Meet the princess as well. So if you have a young daughter,
absolutely,
that's in that wants to meet princesses. Matt, Rafa, you might be able to meet a princess too. Just saying.
I had mine at the Alamo. So
I'm good. Rafa, what are your way to bring the show down at the end? Rafa, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts, like I said, good bounce back, I guess, from last week's disappointment. So kudos to the SAFC. Harry mentioned, bracketology is coming up. Often imitated, never duplicated. The only live bracketology for the UIL. Maybe you have other ones trying to be wannabes. Nope, this is the real deal. Us, Coach Cano, Coach Sanchez from the 50-50 podcast. Like I said, we have something special, something a little different, maybe something after the SAFC game. Stay tuned. But you'll see some of the posts that we're doing on all our social media pages. And then also, I think me and Harry will have a show, I think, Thursday. We're supposed to release the RPIs, but actually this is kind of good because this is the final RPIs for the regular season before the fall. So I'll have that ready to go. And I'll also give a little preview of what's coming up. And should be covering, I think, a couple of games. I think Tuesday I might be at at Somerset. It's for the Somerset Pearsall game. Coach over there invited me over there. So let's do this. We'll finish the season with you guys. And then maybe a Wednesday game. I think me and Matt talked about maybe going to see a Wednesday game. So we'll keep you guys posted.
And Robert, your final thoughts?
I mean, the big thing, like, with this game, we need to kind of take advantage of the fact that we're playing a team that's reeling. Like, we need to – I'm not going to channel my inner Harry and go full panic mode, but we need to win. Like, we need to put the two of them. We need to pick up the 3 points. I don't want to be at the end of the year saying, hey, you remember that 3-3 tie with San Diego that hurt us? And then the 1 year when we got to the 6th tiebreaker against OC, didn't host a home playoff game. So just put it to them. Let's score. Let's get some momentum. Bring the heat in the bunker. And unfortunately, I won't be there and a few others, but we're going to be heading up to Watts USA on Thursday and Sunday. Hopefully bring home the cup. So, Rafa, shake your head all you want. It's happening. And I don't want to – the big thing I don't want is I don't want to go Thursday and then end up in the third place game. So it's not happening. We're getting in the first place game. Mark the tape. Mark the video. Mark whatever you want. We got this.
Fair enough. Jonathan, your final thoughts.
Yeah, building off of that, I don't know that I really said it during the Colorado Springs preview, but after kind of some weird circumstances, an SAFC season opener, and then a tough match in Tampa Bay that SAFC managed to rescue a result in, you should be able to, especially at home, beat this Switchbacks team that is going to be missing a right back, has not had a good start to the season. This is where you start stamping your authority and showing, okay, yeah, we are a serious contender. And again, going back to the theme, Women's Empowerment Night, I have been saying for a couple of years now, SAFC needs to kind of change this up a bit, get some new things. And so I'm really glad that they're going to be doing that. I'm excited to see how that turns out. And at the encouragement of you guys, you were also telling me to kind of promote my stuff. I will not have an article out early this week. It's just not going to happen, especially with the way I've been feeling the last few days. But bluishmoonblog.wordpress.com, there's been some apparently good stuff out there. And I say that not because I think it necessarily, but because other people have told me, a few different people on social media the last few days. And I just want to say that I appreciate that because sometimes I kind of look in the mirror and wonder, like, okay, where's this going? You know, why am I doing this? So it does help just to hear that people do find value in it, that I'm not just doing, you know, work that can be found elsewhere that isn't really rising above. It's good to hear that it does actually make a difference for some people. So,
and I will say, Costless,
yeah,
you're reverting to your RGV days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not allowed. Sorry.
No, sir. No, sir. Strike one. Strike one, Costless. No, joking. And JC, your work is wonderful. Don't sell yourself short. It's needed in the community. It's needed for us. It's wonderful. And my final thought, Once again, we got 3 weeks until the charity barbecue, the Mike Taylor barbecue cook-off fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Clubs, Salvation Army. They're off Peacock Avenue. Once again, $25 for a VIP entry. You go in, you get free samples of barbecue, get a plate, get a t-shirt. It's a good time. Or you could just do a $10 drive-through plate. Comes with rice, beans, sausage, chicken, cooked there on site. It's a heck of a deal for lunch, and it's all to a good cause. For more information, go to salvationarmysatx.org, and you can purchase your tickets there. I'd appreciate it. And for Harry at Raymond Call, for Jonathan at Check J Footy on Twitter, for Matthew at Nessio Drummer, for Robert at Viking Bob 69, for Rafa at Papa _ Soccer-itis, Sicaritis, I guess that's what it's supposed to be. And for me, Royce at Royce the Voice, with zeros being the O's. What's up with our goals? Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you. Go SAFC this Saturday.